Sean, it feels like it's been a while since you and I have gotten together on the Swarmcast, but not a surprise just because of all the craziness kind of going on in the world. But it's good to be back. Another episode of the Swarmcast. A lot of stuff has happened despite, you know, sports quote unquote being at a standstill. Sean, there's still plenty of stuff going on.
Well, Dave, to say your first point, yeah, it has been a while. And I don't know whose fault that is. Might be yours, probably yours, because I've been free to do podcasts and. You guys, I mean, Dylan's open to it all the time, but you kind of shut it down most times. I don't know why you're not. I don't know, dude. That's a you problem.
Oh man, I missed you so much, Sean. Thanks for the warm introduction and a warm greeting back for me. But it's much appreciated. But yeah, you know, we're gonna try to continue to churn out these things consistently, especially with the rate of news kind of going on. I guess we start from the top, Sean. Obviously, Luka Garza, unsurprisingly, I think, for anyone paying attention, he declared for the 2020 NBA draft, as he should. And I think a big thing to keep in mind is he's never sought feedback from the NBA. You know, I think he thought about last year, but I think his camp didn't feel like he had a good enough year and didn't know how many workouts he would get, so he just decided to return to Iowa. So this is really the first time he's going to get some direct feedback straight from NBA scouts.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a good thing, too. I mean, just based on the year he had, you kind of have to at this point. I know some people were talking about how maybe he won't even enter the NBA draft because he doesn't feel he's ready. But I think you look at kind of just the numbers and how successful he was. And I know the way he plays isn't really the NBA style. The fact that he's kind of a guy that's – he's mobile, but he's not a guy like, I don't know –
doesn't have natural running ability and like athleticism. Yeah. I mean, I hate using this because they're different style of players, but like DeAndre Jordan just glides down the court. And there's a couple of those bigger centers that, I mean, it's a low grade, but I mean like a JaVale McGee, like those guys can run the floor and they're versatile.
And they're very high flying big men too. Like, I don't know how many dunks Garza really had this year where he's just like jumping over guys. I don't think there was any, but I mean, Brian Snow brought up a good point too, how a guy like Nikola Jokic is making the NBA. He's kind of a similar player to Garza in the fact that he's very below the rim, very versatile in terms of his offensive skill set, can beat you down low, can shoot from the outside, really, really good passer. But Jokic is kind of a guy that, I don't know, there's just something about him and kind of the system that he fits in that mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, this kid or this guy can be an NBA player and is a very good one. I just think that's the exception, though, in terms of a big man like that who's more, like you said, really lacks that elite athleticism for a big man. So, yeah, I think, I mean, if you're Garza, might as well get it. Worst comes to worst, I mean, which is kind of the expectation right now. You come back to school. I don't really think that's a bad option either. Even though I said worst comes to worst, I think that's a really good option for him because you look at the success Iowa could have with him coming back next year. Jordan Bohannon obviously returning. They only lose a couple of seniors, bring back most of their offensive production. You're looking at a team that not only can be successful, but if Garza, I mean, he's not going to have the year statistically that he had this year. No one will for a long time unless we get an absolute freak in the Big Ten again. You really look at it and you're like, okay, like his stock could be as high as it gets right now. That's what people think. But I think with a big year, and he kind of shows that he's improved maybe athletically, offensively, defensively, I know a lot of people have harped him on, then he can maybe get his draft stock up a little bit. I think that's kind of the mindset you have to have right now. I mean, I know a lot of people's thinking this is as high as it's going to get, but I think I have a glass half full on this, on that perspective.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head because the biggest thing, and I think this is worth knowing too for Garza, he's not like most players in the sense that he is very self-aware. Like he knows what he needs to do. He knows what he needs to get better at. He knows he needs to defend ball screens better. And here's the thing too. I think he was a much better rim protector this year. Then I think people give him credit for 1.8 blocks. Obviously, Iowa played a lot of zone to try to cover up Garza and protect him from foul trouble, but he was still getting attacked down low. I mean, time and time again, but he managed to stay out of foul trouble. So I think that's a big thing. Another thing I want to bring up too, Sean, is Garza's message and the way he kind of went about the whole thing and the way he articulated his thought process and his plan. It was really, I don't want to say second to none, but I mean, it was extremely well crafted because it left no speculation on what he's trying to do. It kind of shuts down that. Obviously, in his social media stuff, he said, I'm not going to go in the draft with 100% confidence of being able to make a roster. I'm sorry, he said that in teleconference. In his actual statement, he just said, it's been my dream to play in the NBA since I started basketball. I'd do anything to pursue that. If it's not the right time to make the move, I'm excited about the potential, what my senior season as a Hawkeye could have in store. And obviously in the message as well, he had in all capital letters, maintaining my eligibility. So he really tried hard to just shut that down. And like you mentioned, if he comes back next season, I mean, the sky's the limit for Iowa if they can just retain all the pieces. And I like how you brought up that he won't have the year statistically. He doesn't need to. If Iowa brings back everybody, C.J. Frederick's going to be better. Joe Toussaint's going to be better. Jordan Bohannon is eyeing a Big Ten three-point record, needs 91 of them. Iowa's ability to kind of really stretch the floor, it's going to give Garza a lot more one-on-one opportunities and really limit the double and triple teams because teams aren't going to want to leave Iowa open for three. So I think that's another thing. And in terms of Garza's draft stock, if he defends ball screens better, if he develops a little bit more athletically, and if he sheds some bad weight, because look, he's very well conditioned, but you know, kind of hearing reports and listening to NBA scouts, they want to see him cut some more bad weight. And that's going to happen just through, obviously, his rigorous training with his dad, Iowa strength program, and obviously going through another season. And if Iowa ends up with a top five, top 10 team, team success will breed individual success for Luka Garza. If Iowa has a really good year, he's going to be the most likely national player of the year, barring any big surprise. And his draft stock will go up because if they see Iowa goes, I'm just going to throw a random number, right? Regular season, Iowa goes 25-6, 24-7. You know, I think that he develops into a draft pick just because of how good Iowa was throughout the season.
And teams, NBA teams want to see you guys win. I know that's a knock I read today. Derek Piper's Illini Inquirer had an article on Ayo Dosunmu and how his draft stock has kind of dropped a little bit. I mean, he had a great second half to the season. He's a guy that I think could be a great fit in the NBA one day. But you look at a guy like from Utah State, Sam Merrill, he had the opportunity to really show what he can do in the conference tournament and really win. And we saw this year that the Big Ten schools didn't have that opportunity. A lot of the school, almost every school didn't have the opportunity to win a conference tournament except for like the Ivy. Well, not even the Ivy League because they get their tournament got canceled too. Yeah. But I think like the Mountain West and like the Missouri Valley were the only two like perennial mid-major conferences that were able to have a conference tournament. NBA teams want to see guys that can perform on a big stage, perform in front of large crowds, perform against elite competition on national TV and see what they bring to the table. And the Iowa and all those other guys didn't get a chance to do so this year. What were you
saying? I was going to say, no, I would say that's a great point because the biggest thing that I remember from last year's NCAA tournament was Garza averaged 16.5 points and I think 7 boards or something like that. CBS Sports with John Rothstein said he's a breakout player in the NCAA tournament. And that's when the buzz kind of started around Luka Garza being the centerpiece for Iowa this season.
Right. And because that's a big factor too. I mean, you want to get guys that come from winning backgrounds and guys that are proven winners. We saw at the high school level, Luka had great success with Merritt and on the AAU circuit too, a team takeover. And he had an up and down freshman year. Put up decent numbers, but Iowa wasn't very good. Sophomore year was a lot better, put up some good numbers. Iowa was winning games, still inconsistent at times, but nonetheless, they won games. And this year, just absolutely blew people out of the water. I mean, it helped that Iowa was so successful. I mean, I know he didn't get the player of the year nod, and he didn't get the chance to prove in the Big Ten tournament, but I think this year was just huge for him in terms of draft stock. I mean, at the beginning of the year, you're looking at a guy who's not even being considered as an NBA guy. But now, we saw what he could do shooting the ball, how dominant he was down low. But I mean, he kind of remained the same athletically in terms of his foot speed and lateral quickness, not great, but I think just the way he dominated has really put himself on some radars for NBA teams. I mean, he's not a lock at all to get in the second round. I think at best he'd be like a late second round guy, very likely undrafted, but he's put himself on the radar because of this season. And a big part of that too is because of Iowa's success.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up another good point. I mean, he probably wasn't even a top 250, top 300 prospect entering the year, but just his consistency, his dominance. And I mean, on top of all that, with Iowa's injuries, he was getting double and triple teamed literally every single play, and he still found a way to be that efficient. And he's really starting to add even more range to his game. Obviously, Iowa fans see all of Frank Garza's tweeting videos of Luka working out and hitting, you know, 20 of 21 threes from 33 feet. So, I mean, he's still adding elements to his game. He's still adding new post moves, a sky hook. And again, I mean, it, no matter what level that, you know, he plays at next year, I still think he'd find a way to contribute. But even if you bring up he's a late second round pick, I don't even know if that's good enough for Garza, because he does not want to play in the G League. He basically needs to say, I need a team that loves me, has a plan for me, and will put me on their roster, almost a guaranteed roster spot. And I think right now, I don't see that happening. And I think we kind of touched on this on our VIP boards at Hawkeye Insider, Sean, that some of his quotes yesterday were just very telling, I think, about the way he's going about it. I think he's going to get feedback. He knows what he needs to improve on, but he wants to hear it from guys who are actually in the position to make the decisions other than Fran and like his father. And that's no offense to Fran or his father, but it's just, you know, it's the position game. It's trying out for his future boss and all that. So it'll be interesting. And I think it was just the bond between Iowa fans and the Garzas, just the way it developed over the last year is just, it's special, honestly. And I think it was overwhelmingly supportive of Luka's decision to enter the draft. And, you know, if he returns, and it's something that really kind of stuck out to me, Sean, in the interview, was when he was asked about the potential of next season's team. And he said, quote, it's something I value very highly, end quote, in his decision making and what he decides to do. So he genuinely loves college. He genuinely loves Iowa. And you don't really, I want to say you don't really see that, but in terms of it being a factor in his decision, I think it is a factor in his decision because, you know, Frank's gone on the record on a couple other outlets saying that he believes that Luka and Fran can bring a Final Four run and a national title to Iowa. So look, projections are just all over the board, but if the pieces return, and you know, we'll get into this in our mailbag section later because we had a couple questions surrounding it, but Iowa's legitimately probably going to be a top, maybe the favorite in the Big Ten Conference, maybe at least one of the favorites, probably alongside Wisconsin. And I don't know about Michigan State. Obviously, lose Xavier Tillman, and they lose Cassius Winston, who's one of the best point guards of all time there. But, you know, it's a lot of uncertainty. But I think the way Garza went about the NBA draft process and the way he kind of articulated himself, it was impressive. So he made the right decision. It's a smart thing to do. And now Iowa fans are just going to have to sit back and wait to see, you know, kind of how it all unfolds.
Yeah, no, I think you hit everything right there.
So we'll talk a little bit more basketball later. We had a couple questions surrounding it. But Sean, I know you got the chance to catch up with one of Iowa's newest offensive line targets and newest offer. So do you want to kind of tease that and we'll play that interview?
Yeah, so I got the chance to talk to Jacksonville Bishop Kenny, three-star offensive lineman Michael Mislinski. Offers from Iowa, Oregon, Maryland, Texas, Michigan State. A guy that's up there on Iowa's board. And I know Iowa likes him at center. And I think this is going to be one to watch too. Me and Michael talk about we kind of touch on his rise and what he's been up to lately with the quarantine. And his dad is actually the strength and conditioning coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we talk about how having a guy like that or a dad like that in his family really helps him out. And then we dive into the recruiting process too, and kind of get a feel for what he's been up to. I actually placed a 24/7 sports crystal ball in favor of Iowa for Mislinski. I think Iowa's in a really good spot right now. Obviously, he hasn't been to campus yet, but I think by the podcast you can kind of tell that Mazinski really, really likes what Iowa's doing in the offensive line tradition. And he also talks about his connection with the former Iowa offensive lineman. So that's a pretty good story, too.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, so we'll play that interview and we'll just catch up in a few minutes.
So as promised, guys, we now welcome on to the show Jacksonville Bishop Kenny 2021 three-star offensive lineman Michael Mazinski. The junior from Florida has offers from Iowa, Texas, Maryland, Oregon, Florida State, and a couple others. So Michael, man, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure, boss. So what have you been up to the past couple weeks? I mean, I know with all this stuff going on, it's kind of tough for you recruits to really get, it's different, you know? So what have you been kind of up to stay busy?
Well, definitely has been different, you know? Currently I'm in online school, so I've been doing a lot of online work, you know, trying to get ahead in my studies. Because as you know, football's only going to take you so far. I've been working out. I have a nice gym in my garage because my dad's strength coach for the Jags, so he makes sure that we have all the equipment no matter how bad the times are. So I've been working out in online school, and that's about it. You know, there's only so much you can do when you're quarantined.
Yeah. I mean, I saw you got worked in Madden the other day, too.
Oh, I got worked. Yeah. We don't got to talk about that.
You an Xbox or PlayStation guy?
I play Xbox.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not the best at Madden, but yeah, like all other games.
Nah, you know. I get that. Hey, as long as your team Xbox, that's what we want. So, kind of get into it now. Before we hop into recruiting, you mentioned it. Your dad, strength and conditioning coach for the Jaguars. He played before his coaching days. He played at Tennessee, had a long career in the NFL, and is now in the NFL still. What's it been like growing up with someone like that, kind of mentoring you throughout like your whole development?
Well, I mean, first off, I'm very lucky to have him. You know, without him, I wouldn't be here in this position. You know, he was tough on me growing up because he cared about me and he knew I told him what I wanted to do. I wanted to play college football. You know, obviously I'd like to play in the NFL, but you know, it was in the first dream. And, ever since I was young, he helped push me. And, I owed all the credit to him and also my brother, Thomas. He, you know, ever since I was young, he pushed me as well. He played at Air Force Academy, so he knows what it's like to get to and play at the next level. And he's a strength coach now at East Tennessee State for softball and then baseball, as well as Olympic sports. So I have two similar minds helping me out, trying to achieve my dream. And he's also a nutrition major. So, you know, he's got all – I have all aspects helping me out. So I have no excuse, and it's honestly extremely lucky. I'm blessed to have those two people in my life.
So have you always been an offensive lineman then?
So when I started playing, I originally was a quarterback, honestly. Played quarterback for a while, played some tight end. But I always played line. They always put me in. And then when I hit high school, it was offensive line, and I never left. So.
Yeah, gotcha. So as far as recruiting goes, you picked up some big offers in the past couple of weeks. What schools have kind of jumped in? What's it been like for you getting all these new offers?
Well, I mean, it's an honor. I say like the latest schools that I've received offers from was FSU and Michigan State this week, which was, you know, it was a big honor. FSU is, it's not hometown, but it's maybe, I think, an hour and a half from where I am, maybe two. Michigan State, the O-line coach used to work with my dad in North Carolina for a short period of time, though. Maybe a couple months, but they were friends before that, I believe. So I've known him a little bit. So it's nice to build a relationship with someone else I've kind of known. But no, I'm just, you know, just it's an honor, you know. I've dreamed of playing college football since I was young, so just to be in this position is a blessing.
So we talked about it before. Iowa obviously offered a couple weeks ago. You said that you grew up watching their offensive linemen. What else do you kind of know about Iowa? I mean, you can go in depth on kind of the offensive linemen success that they've had this school, and what else kind of stands out about that program?
Well, I mean, the family aspect of it. Like, I talked to Coach Kirk Ferentz the other day, and we talked for a long time, and he's just a personable guy, and I felt comfortable talking to him. It felt like I was, you know, talking to my dad. Like, he cared about me. It just seemed like he really cared. And that's same with Coach Polisak, Coach Foster, Coach Brian Ferentz, and that means a lot because, you know, when I go to college, I'm leaving my family. So it's important to me that I feel comfortable and, you know, that I'm going into another family. So I'm just really excited about Iowa. You know, I'd say it's definitely one of my top choices. And I'm just excited to go take a visit there whenever this coronavirus leaves.
So you haven't visited Iowa, right?
I've not. No, I was supposed to the 26th of March, but this thing happened, so.
Yeah. So kind of talk about the offensive lineman that you grew up watching from Iowa.
So I grew up watching Brandon Scherr, Marshall Yanda a little bit, but mostly Eric Steinbeck. But I didn't watch Eric Steinbeck originally at Iowa. I would go back and watch him because – so Eric Steinbeck was my neighbor when I lived in Cleveland. My dad was coaching for the Browns. So I got to know him because he would always come over for dinner and stuff. And then he had these three big dogs that would he'd always have out, and they'd chase me through my backyard. That was a whole nother story. But so I got to know him well in Cleveland. And so, you know, he's a stud. And I would always go back and watch his film and everything. But honestly, my favorite Iowa offensive lineman I've ever watched is Brandon Scherff. I watch his tape every time before my game because that dude is just he sets the bar high. He's a really physical downhill run blocker, and that's how I try to model my game after. So,
gotcha. So has Eric called you at all, kind of talked up Iowa since they've offered you?
We've not talked yet, actually, but I don't. My mom was trying to get me on the phone with him soon, so I'm sure we will.
Gotcha. So Texas was another big one to hop in. What are your impressions of that program?
I mean, Texas is a great program. Coach Herb Hand, he grew up with my mom's brother. So I don't know him too well, but, you know, from what my uncle has to say, he seems like a great guy. And I'm just, you know, Texas is a great program. They're always at the top. And so I'm just excited to go visit there as well.
So I'm kind of sensing a lot of connections with your family and people you know with all these offers.
you know, it's crazy because my grandpa, he worked, he coached, he played in Maryland, played with the Jets for a little bit. My dad played. And then, like, he moved around so much. We just, it's just a, you know, it's a business. So, you know, everyone,
yeah.
You know, it's funny cause like, you know, yeah, I wouldn't think I'd be in this position, but it's just crazy how everything works, how important connections are.
For sure. For sure. So Maryland, you said your grandpa played there. What's been kind of standing out about them? What do you like about that program?
Well, I mean, Maryland's always a good program. Coach Reagan, I talked to him a lot, and he seems like a really great guy. And a lot of the things he teaches about O-line that we've talked about is a lot of the same things my dad teaches me. So it would be nice, you know, a lot of the same ideas. So it would be easier to probably go into their system, which is always nice. But also Coach Hilo, he's always been there for me. You know, he seems like a really good guy, and I've gotten to know him for a long time because I go to school with his younger brothers. So he's been recruiting me ever since he was at Colorado State a couple of years ago.
So, I mean, obviously it's got to be kind of an intriguing to maybe follow in your grandpa's footsteps and play in a program like that.
Oh, yes. It would be really cool. I know he would love that, too. When I called him that I offered for Maryland, he was like, well, Mike, you know, I went there. You know, he's like, you want to go? And so, definitely.
No pressure. No pressure. Yeah, commit right now if you want to.
He's a captain there, too.
Really?
Yeah, he's a captain. I can't tell you what year, but he is a captain.
So, at this point in the process, what schools, I mean, I know you really haven't like cut down a list or anything, but what schools do you feel are really serious about you?
I'd say Iowa, most definitely. I think they're the most serious about me. Oregon and Maryland and FSU, I'd say are probably the most important.
So,
or like let me rephrase that.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So where do most schools like you on the offensive line? I mean, because I know Iowa likes you at center. Is that where all the other schools like you then?
Yes, almost every likes me at center. But they tell me I can play guard, but they really like me at center.
So
I played center my sophomore. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. Keep going.
I played center my sophomore year, and then – my junior, he kind of moved me around, so I play guard and center. So I have a little tape of both, so sometimes people get confused.
Gotcha. So what about your skill set do you feel makes you like one of the more highly coveted offensive linemen in the country?
Well, I think I'm very physical, like run blocker, you know, I consider myself an old school lineman. I think the game's kind of changed a lot. It's not so downhill, but that's how my dad taught me to play. And, you know, I try to finish my defender every play. I played basketball for a long time, so it made me really good, got me very good footwork. I think I'm very good, like, lateral movement. And I did boxing, and I do a lot of hand work. And because of that, I have strong hands, so pass blocking I feel I do very well. So, you know, just a lot of outside work I put in, I believe, has helped me just get me to this point.
So a big thing with college football prospects today is before they go into college, they play multiple sports. How important, and you kind of addressed it too with the footwork, but how important do you think it is to really not just focus on football from a young age and instead kind of play other sports?
Well, you know, when you're younger, you got to enjoy life. That's the first thing I'd say is you got to have fun with it. I played baseball. I played basketball. I did shot put and discus. I might be doing that actually again this year. But, you know, basketball was definitely like my second favorite sport. You know, it teaches you, it's good to be an athlete, you know. Obviously, a lineman, linemen have to be athletes. People don't think so, but you have to. You want to be able to move in space, block on linebackers, move your feet. So basketball teaches you that. I mean, you're guarding people. You have to stay in front of them. You're moving your feet. It's aggressive. It's just not aggressive football. You're just moving your feet in front of them. And so that really helped me. I don't know how good of a basketball player I'd be if I didn't play basketball. And how much of an athlete I would be if I didn't play basketball. So.
Gotcha. So how do you kind of, I mean, I know it's tough right now with no one or not being able to visit any schools, but how do you kind of factor in the schools that you haven't been able to get out to yet?
I think I've just been talking to coaches a lot, trying to find a major. Maybe that can help me limit my options. But what I'm honestly trying to do is like find the criteria of what I want most in school. And then off that base, like go through the programs, and if they hit that criteria, then I'd keep them, you know, in the list. But as of right now, I honestly don't even have a criteria. I'm still kind of just going through the process because, honestly, it's been these past 2 months have been my main recruiting points. I think I had maybe four offers heading into February, And, you know, I have 20 now, but it just, you know, it's crazy how, you know, how fast it can change. And like you said, I've not visited them. So just talking to the coaches, doing research online, all that, and finding the criteria to help me, like, shorten my list is what I'm going to do. Because, you know, obviously it is harder not being able to visit these schools right now.
Have you, like, has any schools talked to you about taking a virtual visit, or have you taken any of those yet?
Yeah, I've taken a couple of virtual visits. They're not, you know, they're not, you can see, like, you can see the campus and stuff, and so that's important. But, you know, I get the same things from going online and stuff. But I've only done a couple, so I can't really, you know.
Yeah. So what do those visits kind of entail? I've always been fascinated. I mean, I know, like you said, they show campus and stuff, but, like, what are they kind of like?
It's honestly just like a, it's kind of like a hype video. You kind of, they have music in the background. They're showing the football locker room, all that, which is really cool. I just, it helped shorten my list. Like, I need to know, like, just, you know, where am I going to be staying? You know, Iowa had a really good virtual video. It was about 20 minutes long, went through, like, the campus. You walked with them. That was the best virtual tour. I was just thinking of another one. So,
gotcha. So, I mean, I know it's kind of tough right now to have, like, an exact timeline, but when are you kind of hoping to get stuff wrapped up and make a decision?
Well, I really wanted to before my senior season, but I just don't see that happening right now. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe after my season. But honestly, that can all change depending on just what happens. Maybe something just sticks out more than the others, and I'll just. But I have no idea.
Just kind of
screwed it all up.
Yeah. So what are going to, I mean, you talked about the checklist. What are going to be those final factors in your decision?
I don't honestly know, but I'd say the place that makes me feel most comfortable, the place I think is going to develop me the most, be a good player and a young man. And then, you know, it's wherever I feel most comfortable. And after talking to coaches and where I fit the system best, and obviously roster spots, because I don't want to be sitting on the bench for, you know, 2 or 3 years. You know, I'd like to come make an impact as soon as I can.
And so, hey, Michael, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it. Why don't you drop your social media, your Instagram, Twitter, whatever in here so people can find you.
Thank you for having me. And my Instagram is Michael_Mislinski. And my Twitter is M. Mislinski, with a, and that's it, actually. Anyway.
Awesome, Michael. Hey, man, really appreciate you coming on again.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, great stuff from Michael and Sean. Thanks for setting that up.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Really solid interview by you. So let's kind of dive into just some recruiting. It feels like at least you and I haven't really chatted on the record about some of the Iowa targets and how they're doing. But, you know, I wrote an article about this the other day on HawkeyeInsider.com that, you know, Iowa's fast start, especially given the coronavirus pandemic, it's a big deal. I mean, they have eight commits already in the fold at top. I believe they're 13th in the nation as of this morning. I mean, it's a really big deal that Iowa got their foundation of the class set up. And on top of that, all the in-state kids that they have already locked down as Hawkeyes, and probably, I would argue, the deepest high school football recruiting class in the state history.
I agree, too. I mean, just looking at all the guys with offers, I think there's 18 or 17 with Power 5 offers. I'm not exactly sure on how much at the top of my head, but and then there's a number of guys, too, that are coming out with FCS offers, a couple lower FBS offers. So it's really cool to see this class. And I think that's going to be a thing for the next couple of years, too, as we get kind of more technology with, you know, like strength and conditioning programs. Like you get these programs, these 7-on-7 teams. I know there's a couple in Iowa City. Trevor Bowlers is putting one together that's been very that's going to be very successful, I know. And then ones near the Des Moines area. And I think just guys like, I think they're just going to, we're just going to see more talent too with like the recruiting outlets, media, getting these guys kind of on the map helps a lot. In schools like colleges have been coming into Iowa. I know there's been a lot of college coaches that have talked to me about their efforts getting into Iowa, whether it be at the FCS or FBS level. They talked about how interested they are in these kids and how they want to kind of get some of these kids out of the state. And find some of these small town guys that may not be Big Ten level, but still like could fit at like a group of five or program like that. So yeah, there's a ton of talent. You talked about too, some of the in-state targets that Iowa is still going after. Obviously the one that pops out is Ankeny three-star wideout Brody Brecht, who's down to Iowa and Iowa State, looking like Iowa right now. I mean, he'll take two official visits to Iowa State and Iowa in June, but I have had my crystal ball in the Hawkeyes since they offered back in June at camp, so I'm pretty confident about that one as of now. And then as far as, I don't know, I'm not sure why I'm blanking right now, but I think other than that, in terms of recruits, he's kind of the lone in-state guy still on the board. I mean, Thomas Fedoni.
Thomas Fedoni is the only other one I can think of. Maybe the top target on the board right now, Sean. Obviously, you got like a chance to catch up with him last night. So six schools really still hard after him. And I do want to address this just because I know people have tweeted me about this and asked. Obviously, top 247 defensive end TJ Bowlers cut his list to six. I think if you've been paying attention to his recruiting process and kind of how it's all unfolded, it's not a surprise at all that Iowa's not in it. And I think at this point, Sean, I think you'll agree with me. The feeling's kind of mutual. Like, obviously, Iowa offered early. I believe they're his second offer. I think Iowa State was his first offer. But
no surprise, Iowa State was the first.
Yeah, I just don't think it was a fit for either side. I think that TJ wants to play in a 3-4 system, ideally. And you know, Iowa wanted, probably just doesn't really know where to slot him. Obviously, Iowa's defensive line already with some of the kids they got on board are good. And I think at the end of the day, like it's best for both parties. And I know people are going to say, oh, he's a legacy. Oh, we can't lose, you know, top recruits in state, yada, yada, yada. He's a great kid. It's just not a fit for both parties. And the feeling, at least from my opinion, it's mutual.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a different situation, but I wasn't around for this one exactly. But I've heard kind of the stuff about Max Duggan too, the quarterback from Lewis Central, who ended up going to TCU. And people are like, oh, he should come to Iowa because he's an in-state kid. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it just wasn't the right fit. I mean, you're going to have kids that grow up Hawkeye fans that are going to pick Iowa in the end. And people are going to be like, oh, he's a Hawkeye fan. Like, we need this kid. I mean, yes, like, that could play, like, a part in it. Like, obviously, it's your dream to play for a school like that. But at the end of the day, the thing that these kids are looking for is fit. And that's kind of the case with everything. If you look based on, like, you grew up watching the Hawkeyes, like, that's your only criteria. And that's the only criteria that some fans put into, like, these decisions. It's like, no, like there's so much more that goes into it. There's location, there's money, there's travel, there's academics, believe it or not, academics, other schools recruiting them because a lot of other schools have that same vision. There's just so much that goes into it, and you can't just base it on this kid, his dad played here, like his mom went here, his grandparents played here. Like,
yeah,
you can't just base it on that. There's so much more that goes into it. And I think that's what people have a hard time understanding. I think that's the thing in TJ's case too. It's like, yeah, his dad went to Iowa. His dad played at Iowa. They grow up. He grew up a huge Hawk fan, like yada, yada, yada. But I mean, this kid's getting recruited from almost everywhere in the country. He has so many options. And I think too, like, TJ is awesome. Like, he's a great kid, really great personality, very talented football player. But I think what I was looking for is just not that type of player in the program. I think TJ thinks the same thing. I don't think he wants to go to a place where he feels, I wouldn't say limited, but I don't think he wants to, he definitely doesn't want to go to a place where he feels like he can't reach his full potential or he feels like he's a good fit.
No, 100%. I think you summed it up pretty well too. And I don't think people realize TJ is a great student. TJ is like, oh, I think he's a 4.1 GPA. I mean, Wisconsin got his attention early because of the engineering program. I know he wants to do engineering, study engineering. So, you know, he's got a lot of options. Like you said, he's a great kid. Family is fantastic too. Just, you know, it just isn't a fit. And, you know, I think of another recent example, Sean. Xavier Foster went to Iowa State. He grew up a diehard Iowa fan too. I mean, things happen when you hit the recruiting process and you really start to see, you know, kind of outside that bubble. Because when you're not getting recruited and you grow up a fan, you're in a bubble. But once you start seeing campuses, you really start digging into the academics, play style, and getting into all these factors, it does open your eyes. I mean, I think that's why, you know, Thomas Fedoni, it's been noted, he grew up watching the Huskers. He's getting recruited from everywhere. He's looking at everywhere. There's countless cases like this. So anyway, I felt it was important that we kind of touched on that because, you know, people are, I don't want to say freaking out about it, but obviously, you know, fan bases are passionate and sometimes they, you know, they need to take a step back, relax and see a full picture, take it from his standpoint and even Iowa's standpoint. Because again, I think it's mutual. But, you know, Sean, another, I think an interesting thing that developed over the past week is I'll let you kind of give the synopsis on this. Obviously, we placed a crystal ball on a running back coming out of Tampa, Florida, that has a connection to a current Iowa safety that I think a lot of Iowa fans really want to get this kid in the fold.
Yeah, so 24/7 Sports' Andrew Ivins caught up with Ricky Parks out of Tampa Gator. Ricky trimmed his list to Iowa, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, Florida State, and Utah a couple weeks ago, but Parks told Ivins that two schools standing out right now to him are Iowa and Utah. So I did some more digging. I felt like after a couple conversations I had, a couple intel, a couple kind of just put in the pieces together, I felt my crystal ball, I put it on the Hawkeyes. Parks will visit Iowa on June 19th if that visit ends up happening. I do know that Iowa's put together some virtual visits for a couple of the recruits, as Michael kind of alluded to during our interview. So I imagine that if the official visits thing doesn't work out, then that's going to be kind of the deal this summer. But as far as Parks goes, I think Iowa's in the best spot. I think they've been in the best spot for a while now. I just haven't been able to put my crystal ball on it. I haven't been able to feel confident enough to make that pick, but now I do. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Then his teammate as well, three-star cornerback Jordan Oladokun, cut his list to 7, I think, like Penn State, Maryland, Georgia Tech. I don't remember the other schools, but I know Iowa's heavily involved there too. He'll take that visit with Parks on June 19th. And mm-hmm. That's one that I thought was trending away from Iowa for a while, but I caught up with Jordan. He said that Iowa's the first official visit that he's locked in. So that's really promising. Obviously, with everything going on in our world today, it's kind of a tough to really get a feel on where kids are thinking, kind of what they want. I mean, I know a lot of them are thinking about holding off their decision, but then you see a couple too that are starting to commit. So it's kind of, you're kind of playing it day by day at this point. But I think Iowa's in a good spot for both those kids right now. I haven't put in a crystal ball for Oladokun because I think he's going to take a couple more visits and see what he mm-hmm. can feel. But Iowa's definitely in a really good position right now.
Yeah, I think you summed that up pretty well. Yeah, I mean, look, I think if Iowa gets Parks, I mean, you're looking at Iowa's running back room, and, you know, Iowa fans obviously can never have too much depth, and I'm not going to say his name, but remember there was a few issues a number of years ago involving injured running backs, but a lot of talent, I think, in that backfield, obviously led by soon-to-be sophomore Tyler Goodson, who will step in his first year, I think, as a starter, potentially be you know, a breakout guy. And obviously when I got the chance to catch up with Iowa football director of recruiting, Tyler Barnes, I asked him about the June 19th weekend. And it should be noted that that third weekend in June, Sean, for the last 2 years has been extremely good to Iowa. Almost every kid that goes officially visits the uncommitted ones, because obviously they try to get all the commits there with some of their top targets. I think there's 7 of 8 or 8 of 9 over the last 2 years in securing commitments from uncommitted official prospects. So that weekend's extremely big for them. Obviously, you mentioned Brody Breck's going to be there. Ricky Parks is going to be there. But Tyler Barnes said that as of right now, it's still on. But obviously, with everything going on with the coronavirus, and it's a lot of unknown. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Stay tuned to Hawkeye Insider for that. Sean, another thing I think we need to kind of touch on is 3-star wide receiver Skylar Bell from Watertown, Connecticut. Obviously connected with Deontay Vines, teammates with him, really good friends via social media. Deontay's kind of recruiting him on Twitter. He cut his list to 6. Iowa squarely in the mix for him.
Yeah, that's another crystal ball that me and Steve Wolfong had put on Iowa. Steve was the first to hit that one. But yeah, I think Iowa, I mean, I know he hasn't visited right yet, but I think that's still really good spot for him right now. I'm not as comfortable as I am with Parks on that pick, but I still feel pretty good about it just based on the relationship that Iowa has with the staff up there at Taft and what they've kind of done recruiting Skylar, Deontay. I believe they offered Skylar on the same day they offered Deontay. So they've had a long relationship with him, and obviously they're going after their quarterback, Nick Brown, who's from a suburb in Illinois. So Iowa's really working hard up there. That's Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland for the most part. And also, too, I want to address kind of the quarterback situation. Obviously, there's been a couple of targets in the past 2 weeks that have emerged. Finn Collins from Calabasas committed to Arizona State the other day. He was a guy that Iowa was looking at, very interested. I thought he was a heck of a talent. Had a couple other Pac-12 offers, but Arizona State was where he was end up going. I think Michigan State was close to offering as well. Iowa was looking at him, but I think they were going to hold off on offering a little bit. But he seemed like a guy that would be a really good fit. Obviously, he's committed to Arizona State now. I don't know if Iowa's going to keep pursuing him. I wouldn't put money on it that they would. We'll have to see what happens. But as far as quarterback goes, one that's emerged in the past couple of days is Kyle Wickersham out of Louisiana. Mainly group of 5 offers right now, Air Force. He's got a couple Ivy Leagues. He's actually, I know a lot of people have been kind of tough on his film, but I mean, this is his first year playing quarterback. I talked to a source close to him the other day, and they said this is first year playing quarterback. Like, he's got great athletic ability, very mobile in the pocket. Obviously, his arm strength is not like some of these other targets, but he's a dude that can move and I think would be a good fit. I mean, he comes from a football family. His dad played at LSU in the 80s and is a guy that I think can really, really develop into a really special player. His team won the state championship this year in Louisiana with one of the tougher divisions. So that's obviously tells you something about him as a player. He's a very competitive winner and kind of get the job done for you. So he's a guy that I would track this summer as well.
Obviously, Sean's been crushing the recruiting beat, and we have a lot more information on HawkeyeInsider.com. So be sure to, tune into that every day. I think, Sean, we're averaging like 8 or 9 different pieces of content and scoops per day, despite the shutdown. So be sure to check us out there. That's enough for recruiting. I think we got a nice little overview of it. Sean, let's dive into some mailbag questions before we kind of wrap this up. First question, what NBA team could benefit having Luka Garza on their roster? And I think that's a really interesting question. And look, I hate saying this because it's going to bother me, but I think he'd fit with the Warriors. I really think that he would fit in well with kind of that offense and with that spacing that he get, that they do. And I think he'd be a guy that, could get a lot of the cleanup points off missed 3-pointers and a guy that can just go out and stretch out to 3. I don't want to say like a lot of those fast break offensive teams, because obviously Garza is not going to be able to keep up athletically with them, but there's a couple teams, if they could use a stretch 5, I think he'd fit in fairly well. Luka does believe that he can play the four in the NBA. I'm not sold on that because I just don't see the defensive potential for him right now to be able to guard some of the more athletic four men in the NBA. But I could see him, you know, doing so with just guarding centers.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that question to you because you're more of the NBA guy. So, I mean, I think the Warriors would make sense in terms of just spacing the floor. Obviously, like you said, spacing the floor on offense, but that also means spacing the floor on defense. It's not like the Big Ten where you got big men who aren't super threats to score from the perimeter. So he's going to be forced to guard out on the perimeter, be able to switch ball screens and guard guards at time, which I think could be a big issue for him. So, yeah, I mean, I could see the Warriors, and then I don't really know. What are some other teams that come to mind?
I think the San Antonio Spurs would be a really good fit. Yeah, I think
anyone could fit in that system.
Yeah, I think with Greg Popovich and the way he kind of coaches defense and the way he's kind of utilized players' talents over the past few years, I think he'd be a very prototypical guy for them. I think even the Toronto Raptors, the job that Nick Nurse, you know, has done over the past 2 years is astounding. And I think that he'd find a way to get Luka involved, maybe off the bench. But look, at the end of the day, I think Luka can play in the NBA. Can he be a starter? I don't want to go that far. But I think he's going to be, you know, an Iowa guy under Fran that really sticks around in the league. I think that he's too fundamentally sound to not be in the league. And he's too productive against too good of competition and not be in the league. So, I need to look at all the rosters and everything to kind of do a deep analysis. But I think any of those three teams, I think he'd be a really good fit. But yeah, so I think that he's still a year away. I think that there's still, you know, progress he needs to make in certain areas, but the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Raptors, I think that he'd have a shot at. Sean, I'll get you in on this one. What do you expect from CJ Frederick next season?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I think he's a guy we've talked about before, Dave, that can maybe make like the all Big Ten team, or ball all like Big Ten third team, I think could be his ceiling.
Yep.
In terms of production, I think it's kind of hard to estimate that with everyone coming back. Obviously, his scoring might be, I think he'd probably get up to like 11, 12 points. Obviously, this year he was dealing with injuries from time to time, so his consistency was a little raggedy. In terms of like just being on the court, but when he was on the court, I mean, he brought it every game, whether that be on defense, any side, both sides of the floor, he really delivered. So I think that could be a guy that probably could give you like 11, 12 points a game, similar to a role he had this year. But I think with more weapons, I mean, you have Garza likely coming back, Wieskamp, Bohannon, Nunji too is a guy that can shoot if need be, but he could play some post too. I think you're looking at a guy that, and then Connor too, is obviously a guy that has turned into somewhat of a reliable 3-point shooter. So I think you're looking at a team that just the way they'll be able to space the floor and be able to really play that balanced, unselfish type basketball. And I think that's the system that CJ's at his best at. So I think he could be a guy that gets like 11, 12 points a game, hits a couple threes and gives you good minutes, on the defensive side too.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I was going to say 12 and a half points would probably be a ceiling next year, maybe my prediction next year for him. I think he can make the leap to all Big Ten third team, assuming he stays healthy. I know he's working on getting stronger to continue to try to work on driving and kind of take those hand checks. But I do think that Fran is going to have a few more plays set up for CJ next year just because of Iowa's ability to space the floor. And like you mentioned, Connor McCaffrey, if he can get up to 36, 37%, teams are going to have to guard him closer. He shot, I believe, 34.7% this year. I know it was like 34%, which is a huge improvement from last year. And there are times he hit some big threes for Iowa this year. And as far as Frederick goes, a lot of Frederick's points were in transition. A lot of pull-up threes, obviously the pass back from Joe Toussaint. or a couple of those other guys. But I think, you know, CJ is going to get more open shots next year because I go on the record saying this, Iowa's going to have one of the most versatile and dangerous offenses in the country, assuming everybody stays healthy. There's so many different things Fran's going to be able to do with that team next year. And I think that's going to play a big factor. So it'll be fine, especially since this is a little bit unrelated, but I went on Twitter the other day and I kind of said this, I think Iowa and Creighton are going to match up in the Gavitt games this year. And I don't know if you saw this, Sean, but Tyshawn Alexander, I believe, is gone to the NBA. He's forgoing the rest of his eligibility, 17 point per game score. So they kind of fell down the rankings a little bit, obviously still probably top 12 team. But that was probably one of the only, like one of the few teams I could see competing with Iowa in terms of offensive potential. But with Tyshawn gone, I'm not sure where that kind of leaves. And the second part to that question, I'll kind of dive into it a little bit, was where do you see Riley Till and Cordell Pemsel ending up? I haven't had the chance to catch up with Cordell in a couple of days. I talked to him and broke his list, and he, you know, people are kind of surprised at his list, and I really don't know why, Sean. He's a career 6 point per game scorer, 58% from the field. He's just been derailed by injuries during a lot of his career. I mean, Virginia Tech was inquiring on him, Boston College is. I think the very best option for him, though, and where I think he could ultimately end up, I think Drake. I know that was a popular spot from the start, but with Liam Robbins going to Minnesota, there's a need. There's a need in the front court, and he'd step in. I think he'd be a big part of their offense. So I think if he got there, I think that'd be a big thing for him. As far as Riley Till goes, I've not had the chance to catch up with Riley about it. And here's the thing. I'm not even sure he's going to play basketball yet. I think he's kind of weighing the opportunities if he wants to play or if he wants to just go right into the workforce. But I do know that he wants to get out on the West Coast to be closer to, obviously, his sister and George Kittle. And kind of, you know, enjoy that a little bit. And, you know, I can't blame him when your brother-in-law is the top two tight end in the NFL. I mean, you gotta hang out. You gotta take advantage of that. So I'm hoping to catch up with Riley and kind of see what his plans are. And same with Cordell. But I think Drake would be a great fit for Cordell in the long run. So, Sean, I'll let you kind of dive in this one. Tyson Crandall, do you believe our 2021 recruiting class, currently ranked number 13, will stay in the top 25 at the end of the cycle? And also, who do you think are some guys that could potentially be next up to commit?
I think top 25 is tough. I think right now, I haven't had a chance to look at the class calculator and kind of give like a – that gives you kind of a prediction of where it end up in terms of like rankings and everything. Because you never know what guys are really going to blow up in terms of rankings, and obviously what late pickups Iowa could get in the same day, who else they go after the summer. I mean, it's tough too with no camps. They're not going to be able to offer or get like in front of these kids and see what they bring. So I think that's kind of, it's tough. I mean, I could see it ending in top 25, but it'd definitely be like borderline, like 24, 25. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when the last top 25 class was. I think there was a top 31 a couple of years ago, but it's definitely off to a good start. You can't doubt that. In terms of teams or guys that I think could commit here fairly soon, I don't really have anyone. Like in the next couple months might be tough, just because they're still playing it by ear in term with official visits. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to get a gauge on what guys, if those things were canceling. I mean, if those were canceled, I have a couple of prospects in mind that could really wrap things up sooner than I expected. Brody Breck, possibly. I know he's one that is enjoying the recruiting process, but it takes a toll on him. It's a lot of stress. His family feels it too. So he's a guy that could wrap it up sooner rather than later. I think Arlen Bruce is one that's ready to be done with the process as well. David Davidoff is one that I think wants to wait and see. I think he wants to take a couple more visits, but I know the process has been stressful on him as well. It's really kind of taking a toll. So I think those are three that come to mind right now. Now, I feel, like I said before, I think Brecht is one that I feel most confident about. I think Davidoff and Arlen are still looking. I know Bruce is down to two schools, but obviously he wants to see if other schools hop in. But I think that it's going to come down to the Cyhawk. And then Davidoff, too, obviously has Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin on him as well. I know Iowa's really made a lot of ground there. have really done a fantastic job throughout the whole process, and Iowa's the school that he's really heavily considering. So those three come to mind right now. Obviously, Joe Alt as well, I think Iowa's in a fantastic shape for. And who else? That's about, yeah, that's all.
I mean, those are some of the top targets. I mean,
yeah, I think Ricky Parks will take his visits. I know he'll take his visit if they have it, but I think he's a guy that could wait, but he also could maybe wrap it up sooner rather than later. So those are some names to keep an eye on at the top of my head.
And it's so tough too. I mean, there's just so much unknown. I asked Kyler Barnes this the other day, you know, what do you kind of expect to see out of kids? And he just said, he didn't know what to expect, if kids were going to try to wrap it up sooner rather than later. But, you know, a lot of kids, like you said, they get stressed out. They don't want to go through another 5 months of recruiting. And at the end of the day, they might not be able to take visits for the next 3 months. And some guys just don't want to, you know, don't want to go through all that. So a couple more here, then we'll kind of close things out. But Sean, I said we'd get to this. So if everybody comes back, do you really believe the hype of Iowa being a potential Final Four team and being ranked in the top? They said top five, but I'll kind of stretch that out to top 10. What do you think?
I think there's a chance, but defensively there's going to have to be a lot of strides. I know that's a lot of people, the people that are questioning the hype for Iowa next year, despite everyone they come back, the offensive numbers they put up. So you look at Iowa on defense, and it's not ideal. It's not great. It's not a great formula for a Final Four team. There's a huge difference between a round of 32 and a Final Four team. In terms of just having experience, the skill sets, and just the overall team balance. I mean, you see some of the more talented teams fall early in the tournament because they're not well put together, not well built, if you know what I mean, as a team. And Iowa obviously has that experience with each other, but on the offensive side, they really show up. But defensively, man, there's got to be some things to clean up. And I think that's going to be the difference between them making it to a Final Four and them getting knocked out in the first weekend. I think there's definitely potential, but you got to look at it realistically and say this team was not very good defensively this year. I mean, they made strides since 2 years ago when they were god awful, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, and I've kind of gone on the record saying that. Look, if Iowa gets to be a top 75 defensive efficiency, I think that the potential's there, because I think that Iowa's going to have the number one or number two offense in the country next year. I just think the way they can space the floor. And on top of that too, Sean, I think it's worth noting, and again, it's assuming, you know, not knock on wood, everybody stays healthy, they'll be deeper. They can do more things defensively than they could this year because they had to protect Garza, because if Garza was out of the game, Iowa just, you know, I don't want to say they didn't have a chance, but very, very significantly lower chance of being able to do some of the things that they did this season. But as far as the Final Four run goes, look, I'm not going to sit here and try to push, you know, pump the bandwagon or do any of that. But if you're asking me if the potential's there, I don't see how you look at the roster and not see the potential, especially when you compare it to the rest of the country and even just the offensive outburst. I'm very high on next year's team. I just think that there's so many shooters. If Garza comes back, that's obviously the biggest thing. Bohannon. And here's the thing too, Sean, which I think it's worth noting. Nobody has seen a healthy Jordan Bohannon play in the Big Ten. His freshman year, yeah, but that was his first season. His sophomore year, he played with plantar fasciitis, which I still don't know how he did. I think it's a credit to him. His junior year, after the fifth game, he had the major hip surgery. And obviously last year, he was, I want to say, a shell of himself, because he still had some big games last year. I mean, this season. But he was still kind of rehabbing. His other hip was acting up. Wasn't practicing much. He just played on game days. Nobody has seen a healthy Jordan Bohannon. And I think that's a huge key in all of this. So, you know, we'll see. Sean, I think this is a pretty simple answer, but I'll let you take this. Is Iowa looking at any grad transfers or portal transfers in case Luka doesn't return? Maybe a Matt Harms or a Colin Castleton, I'm assuming, just because they're two Big Ten guys.
No, I mean, Harms, because listed 10 today, I was not on there. And then Castleton, I doubt it, but we'll have to see. I'm not sure. I think it's too early to tell at this point. I think they're really, I know Fran's really thinking about or has the mindset that Garza is going to come back next year. So I don't think they're very worried about it.
Yeah, that's about what I got out of it too. Somebody wanted us to do a quick analysis of the football schedule. I don't want to go game by game just because I'll take too long in this podcast running just a little bit over right now. But I'll say this. It's hard. it's no cakewalk. They got back-to-back trips at Ohio State and at Penn State. So, look, Spencer Petras is going to kind of feel that Big Ten gauntlet from the start, Sean.
Yeah, he is. I've been focusing more on the offenses lately with my top, like, five offensive players, top five quarterbacks that I will face next year. And obviously I'm going to do a couple more here in the next few days and weeks. But defensively, yeah, I mean, you're going to have a Micah Parsons, Penn State defense, a lot of talent still on Ohio State defensively. Even some of those other schools, Minnesota loses a couple big guys, a couple big defensive backs. Antoine Winfield's one. And that hurts them, but they're still going to be talented. They're still going to be athletic, and they like to prey on inexperienced quarterbacks. So that's definitely going to be a welcome to the league moment for Spencer Petras right out of the gates.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, at Minnesota is going to be no joke either, because you know they're extremely ticked off about how Iowa ruined their perfect season last year. When they came into Kinnick Stadium, and that's the third week of the season. Again, I only want to talk about football season doesn't happen. I think there's too much negativity surrounding that. So I'm assuming everything's just going to happen. At Minnesota, then Iowa at home, two games, Northern Illinois, Michigan State. Interested to see what Michigan State looks like. I don't really know what to expect from them. Then Iowa's got the back-to-back road trips at Ohio State, at Penn State. Obviously, return home, host Northwestern, go to at Illinois, host Nebraska, go at Purdue. And by the way, people are sleeping on Purdue, I think. I don't care who the quarterback is. If Rondale Moore is completely healthy and David Bell is completely healthy, that 1-2 punch at receiver will keep them in a lot of games because they are two of the most dynamic receivers in the game. And then Iowa closes the season out with Wisconsin. So, I mean, it's one of the toughest schedules, I think, in the country.
Yeah, I mean, George Karloftis of Purdue is going to be the Big Ten's next AJ Epenesa and Chase Young of draft stock. So that's going to be really, really interesting, West Lafayette. That's a huge trap game I already have circled.
So, yeah, I'm the same way. But I think that about wraps it up, Sean. I'm glad that we made this work, even though you tried to blame me for the entire thing.
Well, I mean, if we keep it up, I mean, I won't have any criticisms. You just have to keep consistent. I'm always available. I had nothing else going on.
I know. Well, I mean, a lot of us don't. The quarantine's fantastic, isn't it? All right. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the quarantine or anything like that. But thanks for tuning in. As always, go to HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at David Eicholt, DavidEicholt. Follow Sean. Keep up with all of his work, and the kid's a grinder at SBach247. And keep an eye out for the new 2021 rankings that will be coming out next Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that. Would not surprise me to see a couple Iowa commits move up. But yeah, I think that's going to do it. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.